Today is the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany. Our readings from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, Psalm 138, and the Gospel according to Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. The message is titled, Come, Walk with Me. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version for the Scripture this morning. Isaiah chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two He covered His face, and with two He covered His feet, and with two He flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of Him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, Here I am. Send me. Here ends our reading from the prophet Isaiah chapter 6. Psalm 138, a psalm of David. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. And they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, He regards the lowly, but the haughty He knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Here in Psalm 138, the Gospel according to Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on Him to hear the word of God, He was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And He saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, He asked him to put out a little from the land. And He sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when He had finished speaking, He said to Simon, Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Here ends the gospel reading from Luke chapter 5 for this morning. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O loving Master, shine into our hearts by the pure light of knowing you. Open the eyes of our minds to reflect on your teaching. And put into us the holy respect of your blessed commandments. Lead us to set aside all that is worldly, that we may follow a spiritual life, thinking and doing all things as it pleases you. For you are our sanctification and our illumination, and to you we give all glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. A prayer from the early church. Akaluthe moi. Akaluthe moi. Follow me. Akaluthe, follow. Moi, me. It's a powerful invitation. Powerful invitation to a new life. And it's freely offered to all. Eventually, Jesus would specifically invite 12 to follow him. It's much more than following. A greater and deeper thing it is to come. And what starts as following becomes being with. And to then that one day they are sent as apostolos, apostles. Luke chapter 6, beginning of verse 13. And when the day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12, whom he named apostles. Apostolos is derived from the verb apostello. It's a compound word, apo, away. Apo means away, away from. Stello means send. Apostello means away from, send. And by making this compound word, it intensifies what happens in that word. It strongly connects the sender to the one being sent. In other words, the one doing the sender is strongly connected to the one being sent with the mission. And that mission then is focused back to the source, which is the one doing the sending. Apostello. The sending will come one day. Before that time, though, the understanding of the mission still needs to take place. It has to take place. That understanding of the mission needs to take place. Well, how to get to understand the mission? How to get that mission into the heart and soul of the one who one day will be sent? Be with Jesus. Be with Jesus. It's more than learn from Jesus. It's be with Jesus. Experience life with Jesus. And that brings us right back to the akaluthe moi. Follow me. Thursday nights together, TNT, it really emphasizes together. We eat a meal together. We play games together. We do crafts together. We learn of the events of the Bible and principles taught in the Bible together. We worship together. It's about being immersed in an evening together to bring to life what being a disciple looks like, feels like, acts like, lives like. It's being together. As children learn to talk even before they're reading and writing, they learn to talk by listening, by absorbing from those whom they are together with. The disciples gained so much more just by being together with Jesus through those very different aspects that make up everyday life. Luke 4 informs us Jesus was teaching with authority in the synagogue on the Sabbath. The power of the preaching exposed the presence of a demon which possessed a man. Jesus cast out the demon, setting the man free. Leaving the synagogue, we learn from Luke that Jesus goes home with Simon, to Simon's home in Capernaum. John chapter 1 tells us and informs us that Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist. John points to Jesus one day and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Andrew, along with another disciple, gets up and then follows Jesus, the Lamb of God. They stay with Jesus that day. The next opportunity, we find Andrew going and finding his brother Simon and brings Simon to Jesus. John chapter 1, beginning of verse 40. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. Now back to Luke 4. In Simon's home at sunset, the close of the Sabbath, the crowds come to be healed by Jesus. Even more were set free from demon possession. Jesus healed every one of them. Early in the morning, Jesus heads off to a quiet place to be alone. The crowds finally find Jesus and desire to stay with him, and desires him to stay with them. But he must go. He must preach the good news of the kingdom to others. He was sent for this purpose. So I'm scratching my head, trying to picture the interactions of Jesus with Andrew and Simon, his brother, as John chapter 1 describes it. And then we have Luke chapter 4 describe and adds in Luke chapter 5. How do these interactions interweave with each other? Well, it's simply to suffice saying, Simon was acquainted with Jesus, enough to invite Jesus into his home to heal his mother-in-law. Now, as fishing happens at night in these waters off Capernaum, did Simon, Andrew, James, and John get up and leave Simon's home as the crowds were coming at the close of the Sabbath, beginning of the new day? Possible. It's very possible. Oh, we got to go fishing. And they just left Jesus in his home, healing and setting people free. Nevertheless, in Luke 5, we read of the crowds crowding around Jesus. Luke chapter 5's first word is "geneto" and "geneto." And it's from the verb "ginomai." And "geneto" comes from "ginomai." And in New Testament usage, this word reflects the understanding of God's active role in history. An event is about to come into being, and this event is going to happen that changes a person's life. A transformation will take place. That's how Luke chapter 5 opens. A transformation will take place. The crowd was pressing in on Jesus, so eager to hear the words of God from Jesus. Movements of crowds. You've probably experienced this one time or another. Movements of crowds can be a very powerful force. The pressure of a crowd can knock over fences, break down doors, and it can become even worse when the pushing becomes crushing. Jesus sees two boats on the shore, with the fishermen caring for their nets after a night of fishing. Jesus gets into the one boat, the one belonging to Simon. 50-50 chance, you think, right? Now, it's intentional. He gets into the boat belonging to Simon. It's not random. It's intentional. We only know that because what's going to come in Simon's life. And a quest is given to set out a little from the shore, to be free from the crowd, so as to be able to sit down and teach and preach and proclaim the kingdom of God to the crowd. And there we have Simon in the boat with him, a captive hearer. Perhaps Simon standing with a pole in his hand to keep that boat steady in place a short distance from the shore as Jesus teaches and proclaims the word of God. Now, we don't know how long Jesus taught, but we do know there was Simon listening, and Jesus finishes his time of teaching. Now, to accentuate, to punctuate the power of the preaching, it's time for a sign. A time for a sign. Luke chapter 5, beginning of verse 4. And when he, that's Jesus, had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets." The way Jesus is speaking, the catch is already a done deal. Giving a command that is contrary to the fishermen's common knowledge and method of fishing, still stating with a matter-of-factly way of speaking, "Put down the net for a catch." The catch is there. Put down the net to get the catch. Notice Simon's answer. Simon says to Jesus, "Master." Simon has come to recognize the authority present in Jesus. And we see this further when Simon says, "We toiled all night and nothing taken." All night, all that effort, "I am tired," and nothing taken. All that night's work with nothing to show for it. And then Simon says this, "But at your word, I will let down the nets." Simon recognizes and responds to the authority of Jesus' words. He heard the preaching. He had seen the healing in the synagogue, in his home. He hears the words of Jesus as he sat preaching from the boat, Simon's boat, that morning. Preaching, healing, setting free. "Simon, go into the deep water. Let down your net for a catch." Fisherman Simon knows it's hopeless to fish in the deep in the heat of the day. Yet by faith, at the word of Jesus, an act of faith, Simon lets down his nets. He casts them into the deep water. Suddenly the net is so full, the net begins to burst. From toiling all night with nothing to show, to the net now bursting. So many fish. "Quickly, call the other boat." All attention and intensity is focused on the nets bursting with the fish. Their partners arrive in the struggle of hauling in the fish, filling both boats. So much that the boats are on the verge of sinking. A catch of fish far beyond anything ever experienced. From toiling all night with nothing to show, to now boats, two boats, filled up to the gunwales. Any more fish and the boat will sink. Simon's reaction is not what one would expect. Going from nothing all night with all that work to all this wonderful fish. A catch far beyond ever expectation. I mean, the boat is bursting with fish. Jump up and down, celebrate with great joy the windfall, the blessing. But Simon responds differently. Luke 5, verse 8. "But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Wow. Simon had heard the words of Jesus, seen the power of the authority in the healings, and now all these fish, beyond normal explanation, the Lord's teaching had pierced Simon deeply. Such deepness in that piercing, Simon recognizes the divine in contrast with his own sinfulness. Does it make sense to see this incredible haul of fish and the next thing you say, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man, O Lord"? Isn't celebration more expected of the blessing of all these fish? The Lord had gotten to Simon. Simon had heard the words of Jesus, seen the authority and the power of the words and the signs. And now this beyond explanation of fish. Simon recognizes the divine, something extraordinary. Someone in that boat with him is an extraordinary person. "Depart from me, I am a sinful man, O Lord." Isaiah was given a vision of wonder. The wonder of the throne room in heaven above. That throne room in the heavens, the Lord sitting on the throne with the train of the robe filling all of that temple in the heaven. Seeing seraphim and then hearing the seraphim, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." Feeling the foundation shook and the house filled with smoke. Isaiah realizing where he is, understanding what he is seeing, he cries out, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5, "And I said, woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Isaiah recognized, "I am a sinful man, and in the presence of the holy, I will die." Being in the presence of the Eternal One, the presence of holy, 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 Isaiah's sinfulness and guilt are exposed. Isaiah expects to die for seeing the Lord of hosts. A seraphim brings a coal from the altar and touches the lips of Isaiah. "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin atoned for." And we come to the purpose of the moment in Isaiah 6, verse 8. "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here I am. Send me." Now, generations later, in a boat, Simon Peter is found speaking of his sinfulness on his knees before the Holy One, Jesus the Christ. Luke 5, beginning of verse 9, "For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." I picture this with Jesus' hands reaching out to Simon Peter with his face cast down on his hands and knees before him. Jesus reaching out gently, reaching under Peter's chin to raise up his head so Jesus could look Peter directly in the eyes. "Do not be afraid." Now raising Peter to his feet, "From now on, you will be catching men." Sinful Simon Peter, along with Andrew, James, and John, are being transformed from catching fish to fishers of men, catching them alive. Because that word catch means it's catch them alive. Luke 5, verse 11, and when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Left everything and followed him, letting go of what was all they had known. From the earliest moments of childhood, all they have known was boats and fishing along the shores of Capernaum. Letting go of what was a generational business. Because Zebedee, dad, was there fishing with James and John, his sons. A generational way of life, letting it go, leaving it all behind to be with Jesus. Akaluthesen, walk with me. Follow really means walk with me. Come walk with me. A wonderful Disney movie from 1966 is titled Follow Me, Boys, with Fred McMurray along with Kurt Russell making his movie debut. The boys in the town are getting in trouble, and McMurray's character starts a Boy Scout troop. And through the escapades of the troop, the boys' lives are transformed. Not so much about following the Scoutmaster as sharing life together with each other, along with the Scoutmaster showing the way. The son of the town drunk was not brushed off from being with the troop. As a matter of fact, they put extra effort in extending to welcome him. And he becomes the one most changed by being in the troop. Sadly to say, that era of Boy Scouts of America is no more. Sinful Simon is not brushed off by Jesus. Sinful Simon is invited by Jesus to share life with Jesus, to come and walk with Jesus, eventually becoming one of the inner three along with James and John. See this in AA meetings, who welcome the broken and hurting to show them the way to being sober. By getting together weekly on Tuesday evenings here at Faith in Christ. Follow me means walk with me, accompany me on the road wherever Jesus would go, to see with their eyes what living the faith looks like. As Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, along with the others, they get to see, to hear, to feel, to experience the faith morning, noon, night, and under the stars in the wilderness. To be the eyewitnesses, to pass on their experiences of walking with Jesus, so the generations to come would know, come to know and believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, crucified and risen through the finished work of the cross, paying in full the redeeming price, which brings forgiveness of sins. The fishermen let go of everything, and this is key. They let go of everything. This is the key. You can't hold on to who you are and expect Christ to transform you into the new you who Christ died on the cross for. One may say, I was born this way, to defend a lifestyle or expression of oneself. The only truth of I was born this way is you were born a sinner. You were born a sinner in need of redeeming grace. And all you're trying to hold on to and saying I was born this way is you're holding on to your old sinful self. And expect Jesus to transform when you won't let go of your old sinful self. to defend a lifestyle or expression of oneself. Let go of everything. You can't hold on to who you are, who you have been, who you were. You must reach out. The only truth is, I was born this way. Of that is, that way was born in sin, and it is a part of your sinful self in need of redeeming grace. See Isaiah crying out, "Woe is me!" See Simon Peter falling down on his knees saying, "Depart from me, I am a sinful man, O Lord." And see God reaching out with grace and transforming their lives. To the sinner I say, come, walk with Jesus. It is a lifetime journey beginning with letting go of who you have been, who you are, and walk with Jesus into the you are becoming. Full of salvation, full of grace, being prepared to be in the presence of the holy living God. Redeemed by the blood of Christ Jesus, the crucified and risen Lord. That's who we walk with. So what we were is no more. It is crucified with Christ. What we're becoming, it's a lifelong walk with Christ, but it's that new life in Christ. Just as Jesus was raised from the dead, we too will live a new life. Come, walk with Jesus, the crucified and risen Lord. Amen. And amen.